There's freedom in worship.
Yes.
There is. There's freedom in worship. Praise God. You know, the reason that a lot of people don't worship, and this is just to help you, just know, I've been there. I was very afraid to worship God and just, you know, express my gratitude to Him, is because I was so self-conscious. And how many of you know we need to be more God-conscious? Because if Jesus Christ appeared, we'd all hit the deck. We'd all open our mouths, we'd all worship, we'd be bowed. I mean, if Jesus Christ appeared, we would hit the deck. Amen. Praise God. And we just become too self-conscious. And that's a lot of times in our problems, the problem. Because we're so involved in what we can do and what we think we have and our problems. When, listen, we have a helper in God. Yeah. He's the El Shaddai God, the God that's more than enough. More than enough in every area, praise God. And so I encourage you, just let go, let loose in worship and just praise Him. Not, who cares what other people think? You ain't got to stand before them someday. Who cares what your neighbor, your spouse, or the person behind you in front of you thinks? It's all about Jesus, praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Mark chapter 9. This is the highlight of our week right here. If it's not, it should be. Your spirit's just jumping for joy to be here. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And his Bibles are turning. Praise the Lord. I'm thrilled. I ordered a new Bible because I got to the point where I'm turning pages and I can't see it anymore. It's just, so I ordered a new one last night, and I'm going to start in really being very careful with that thing, because I like to be able to read it and not have to iron it out before we do things. So a new Bible's on the way. Praise the Lord. New Bible, new anointing.
Yeah.
We're going to a new level.
Good.
Of course, that's a joke. But anyways. Father, we love You so much. We glorify You. We thank You for the Word. We thank You for all You've done for us, all You've given us. Father, You gave us a roadmap. It's called the Word of God, to take us to where we need to go, to blessings, to salvation, to prosperity, to health, healing, peace of mind, joy, victory, long life, Father, and protection. We're so thankful for all the promises of God, which are yes and amen. Father, help us this morning. Lord, people don't need to hear from me. They don't need my ideas, my opinions, my philosophies or theories. They need to hear from You. So Lord, as Paul prayed, he prayed that he would speak as the oracles of God. I pray the same way. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration this morning of the Spirit and power. That means, Lord, that I'll open my mouth and say something that everybody in here can benefit from. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Lord, I thank You bullseyes will be hit in people's heart this morning, things that they need to hear. Situations and circumstances in their life will be addressed through the preaching and teaching of the Word. And Father, if You want to interrupt us and take us a different direction, or if You want to manifest and demonstrate in the service, Father, we're open to it. You just be God and we'll obey You. But we thank You for the move of the Holy Ghost this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 9. Of course, we have an awesome thing called live stream. So if you weren't here last week, you can check this out. I'm not going to do a full review. We just don't have time for that. I'm going to fly through this. So if I seem like I'm talking a little bit fast, it's on purpose to get us through some things. But we looked at last week the importance of faith.
Yes.
And how if there's anything in the Word of God that you need to avail yourself to and become a student of, it's faith. And the reason why, we pointed out a whole lot of verses, and again, I'm just going to fly through these, so don't worry about putting them up there, Heather, or don't worry about writing them all down. You can go on live stream. But we saw some interesting things that the Bible said about faith, didn't we? We saw that there was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years in her body, spent all the money that she had, grew nothing better, but rather grew worse. For 12 years, she suffered. She met Jesus on a road one day, and she got healed, and Jesus looked at her and said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." He did. Now, Jesus can't lie, can he? If he did, he wouldn't be the perfect Son of God that he was. He was 100% being truthful, and he said, "Your faith made you whole." He didn't say, "My healing power." He didn't say, "My mercy and my goodness." He said, "Your faith made you whole." And over there in, let's see, it would be in Mark chapter 10. That was Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 10, we see blind Bartimaeus on the side of the highway crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He came to Jesus, he cast off his garment, he got his healing, didn't he? Got his eyesight that he'd never had. And the Lord looked at him and said, "Blind Bartimaeus, your faith has made you whole." He chalked it up, or gave the credit to that man's faith getting his healing. We see over there in Matthew 15, the woman with a daughter that was grievously vexed of the devil, she got her daughter's healing, didn't she? And Jesus said, it's because of you. It's because of your faith. Glory to God. He didn't say anything had to do with him. It said all had to do with her faith. We see in 1 John 5 and verse 4, it says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You want to be an overcomer in this world? You're going to have to do it by faith.
Amen.
The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. See, the Christian that goes out without the shield of faith is susceptible to the devil's arrows, to the fiery darts of the enemy. Captain America doesn't go out without a shield. If he does, there's trouble. Right? The Christian better not go out without their shield, because the fiery darts of the wicked one. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 8 that by grace through faith are you saved. Hebrews 11, 6 that it is impossible to please God unless you are in faith. We could go on and on and on about the importance of this subject of faith. But the point that I want to make and that we brought out last week and build upon this week is that faith, when God said in Romans 12, 3, He said, I've dealt, you know, like a card dealer deals cards. It means he dealt. It says, I've dealt to every man. Romans 12, 3 says, the measure of faith. Well, you could say it this way by the verse that I'm about to show you and what we've already talked about this morning. When God dealt you the measure of faith in Romans 12 and verse 3, he went to heaven's checkbook and he ripped out a blank check and he handed it to you and said, here it is. Now fill it in. What do you need? What do you desire? You say, I don't know, Pastor. That seems like a heavy thing to take in and swallow. Well, let's go to Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. I think you're already there. Look at what Jesus said in Mark 9, 23. Amazing words that fell from the Master's lips. He said, Jesus said unto him, talking to an individual, notice what he said. Now, I don't understand why people have not gotten a hold of this, but this is what Jesus said, so I'm getting a hold of it. If, notice there's a word if there. That means it's not automatic. Whatever he's about to say is not automatic. He says, if you... So now he's putting everything on the believer and he's taking all the responsibility and the pressure off of himself and God. He says, if you can believe... Well, another word that you can interchange with the word believe is the word faith. Faith is belief. Belief is faith. So Jesus is saying, if you can have faith... Now notice what he goes on to say. All things. You know why that's awesome? Because every single one of you have different things.
Yeah.
Every single one of you, some might be finances, some might be health, some might be relationships, some might be children, some might be your job, some might be you need clothes, some might be you need more food, some might need a new car, some might need a new home. I don't know what it is, but I know this. It's an all thing.
Yeah.
And it covers the whole spectrum by saying all things. So you can't sit there and say, yeah, but you don't know my situation. It's an all thing. It falls in there.
That's right.
Don't let the devil try to magnify what you're going through as if it's something big and bad that God can't handle. I was just talking to somebody that was getting ready to purchase a home. And they said to me, man, I never thought we'd, and he threw out the amount. He said, I never thought, that we'd be going for a house this much. And you could tell he was kind of concerned. I said, and I wrote back in a text message, I said, ooh, like real sarcastic, ooh. And I put the amount of the house in there. I said, God's really shaking in his boots over that amount.
That's good.
Yeah. He's God.
Yeah.
He's God. And he said, oh yeah, you're right, Pastor Mike. I said, I know I'm right here. I mean, this is obvious. He's God. I mean, that's not saying I'm Mr. Smart Man. That's just easy to see. And then I went on to say, Philippians 4:19. And then I put that person's name. I put the so-and-so's translation. And I was really just being sarcastic to really bring a point out to him. I said, my God shall supply all my needs according to what I make and what I have. The so-and-so's translation. That's not what it says.
That's right.
My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory.
Amen.
So don't let the devil magnify that your situation is beyond the spectrum of being changed or helped. It's an all thing.
Yeah.
All things are possible to Him, not to Jesus, not to God. If God would just shine His happy face on you like religion has spoon-fed us our whole lives, if you can believe it, it's possible.
Amen.
Jesus said it. To the one that has faith, all things are possible. That's why I say faith is the blank check. He's saying you fill it in, but don't blame me when you don't fill it in. And don't blame me when you don't believe and don't get the thing filled in. You know, if I bought a blank check and gave everybody a blank check, and some of you filled it out for 100 and some of you filled it out for 500, don't get down and upset at the person that filled it in for 500 when you only filled it in for 100. You know what I've learned, and it's amazing? I was talking to another believer. See, there are people all the time, all outside of churches, different churches, always reaching out. And you're just always trying to be a blessing. It's nonstop, you know. It's just, and I'm so thankful. What an honor to be able to do that. But this was another person that didn't even go to our church. And they were talking to me about, oh boy, what was I going to say? It just slipped my mind here. What was I talking about? It'll come back to me. Praise the Lord. And just move on. It'll come back to me. And because they were talking to me about, I don't know, I got to figure this out. Let's just talk about the Buffalo Bills for a second while I figure out this. Tyrod Taylor. But anyways, that'll come back to me. Oh, I know what I was saying. They were getting ready to move into a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that to my remembrance and not making me look stupider than I already look. They were talking to me about a blessing they were about to move into. And they said to me, they're in their 20s. I said, I just don't understand how could we deserve this. Like, I'm having a hard time. Like, there's other people that are so loving and kind and have been in church and been at this Christian thing for a lot longer. And I said, stop it. Life is not about you get what you deserve. That's not how it works with God. Right. You get what you believe for. Yeah. There are people that have been in church and they're 80, 90 years old that are sweet, good people that have got a lick of nothing in their life, and it comes down to belief, because Jesus said all things are possible to him that believes. And then there's people that have been at it for a year and are just accumulating. I'm not talking about just stuff and material things. I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about blessings. I'm talking about increase in influence and favor and in their family that have been about a year that are smoking people that have been at it for 70 years. Well, one of two things is happening. Either God's playing favorites here, or this verse is true. You don't get in life that you deserve. I see a whole lot of people that naturally look like they deserve to have more. They deserve to be blessed. But if they won't cooperate with God with their faith, notice that woman with the issue of blood was sick for 12 years. Do you think God knew about it?
Oh, yeah.
He sure did. Do you think God loved that woman?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But notice nothing happened until she did something. Do you think God was thrilled with blind Bartimaeus having to sit on the highway side begging and couldn't see? Do you think that was God's plan for that man? Absolutely not. But God didn't do a lick until blind Bartimaeus did something. Do you think God was happy? See, God talks about in the Word about people that mess with kids. It'd be better for them to hang a millstone around their neck and to go jump in a lake than to mess with a young one. I'll tell you, it's important how you raise your children. Absolutely. And people are pulling the kids out of church and doing things, and people that abuse kids and stuff. I'll tell you what, it'll be a sad day for you when you stand before Jesus. Because it would be better for you to go hang yourself and jump in the lake with a millstone around your neck than to mess with a child.
Amen.
And I know I'm preaching to the choir in this church. I know that. I'm not speaking that by faith to somebody in here, just so you know that. I know we have some wonderful parents and people that love their kids. I'm just saying, just to bring it out, how bad it is to mess with children. Well, do you think God was thrilled with that woman that's daughter was grievously vexed of the devil? No, it broke his heart. But he couldn't do anything until... See, it's not that he's withholding and sitting back. The Bible says that he is looking to and fro over the whole earth to find somebody that he can show himself strong on the behalf of. He's waiting to pounce, but he's waiting for your faith. He can't violate his word. Jesus is saying, listen, stop looking to me. Stop looking to me as being the reason if you're going to get or not get your blessing. Start looking in the mirror. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, stop looking upwards to whether or not you're going to be blessed and start looking in the mirror. Because how your life turns out has more to do with you than it does God. And don't break that and run with it and say, well, this is a me gospel that Pastor Mike's preaching. No, the subject of faith was given to us on a silver platter from God. We only can believe because of Him. We don't brag about our faith. We brag about the God that works through our faith. Our faith is nothing without God's power moving through it. So we're not up here banging the drum of, wow, our faith is so wonderful and it's all about us. No, we won't even have faith if God doesn't first deal it to us. And faith don't even matter if God's power doesn't flow through it. You can have all the oil and gas you want in the ground.
Yeah.
Until you lay the pipeline, it's not coming out of the ground. But we don't magnify the pipeline.
Right.
That's not what we're rejoicing about. We're rejoicing about when the royalty checks start coming in.
Yeah.
And the oil and gas starts producing and heating homes and fueling machinery and things like that. That's what we rejoice about. But the pipeline's necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when a fireman goes to hook up the hose to their truck, and you know, great pressure comes out of that hose, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Notice they're not hooking up a straw.
Right.
It wouldn't do much good. They're hooking up a big fat hose that can What are you giving God to flow through? Are you hooking up just a teeny, you know, we take Caleb and I love Arby's. I mean, you don't even know how much my kids love Arby's. I'm not going to say let's go to Arby's every day. Arby's! Right? You like Arby's? Yeah, you do. Praise the Lord. And they have big straws there, but they also have the little straws that people use for coffees. Well, when I get them the ice waters, I'll stick one of those tiny straws in there. Why? Because it not as much flow comes out of there. It's easier for them to handle. Is that what you're giving God? All things are possible to him that believes. See, what's the difference between the all things that you need becoming possible has nothing to do with the Father.
That's right.
He's ready, willing, and able to do it.
Amen.
But he needs you to hook up something to that. Praise God. So it's a blank check. It's a blank check to be filled in. You need healing? Fill it in. You need finances? Fill it in. You need peace, freedom from fear, depression, anxiety, worry, whatever, for your children, relationship, fill it in. All things are possible. That verse just totally nullifies and voids out the devil's thoughts in your life that your situation is impossible.
Yeah.
Bull.
Yeah.
It's garbage. It's a lie. It's a lie from the enemy.
Yeah.
It is changeable.
Yeah.
It is possible.
Right.
Praise God. Well, if faith is like a blank check, I know this, that I don't know if you remember when you first started using a checkbook, I had no idea where to put anything in those lines. I mean, even though it says date and pay to the order of and blank dollars and sit for the signature, I don't know about you, but when I first got a check, Mom had to sit down and show me, okay, you put the amount here, then you put the amount over here, then you put the date up here, then you sign down here, and you write in the memo down here what it's for. Might be only one, and you all get your check, they'll be like, oh, I got to do this. I didn't know how to do it. Maybe I'm a dummy, which, that's debatable. Praise the Lord. When they come to fill out a check. I didn't know how to do it. Well, we need to know how to fill up the blank check of faith.
Amen.
Good.
It's one thing to get it. It's another thing to not know how to use it.
Right.
I can give Caleb a blank check. So here you go, buddy. And he has every bit of power and available to him that's in that account. He won't be able to do a thing with it. Why? Didn't know how to fill it out. Didn't know how to use it.
Right?
So we better know how to use it. Praise God. Go over to Romans 10 and verse 8. Anybody getting anything today? Praise God. Romans 10 and verse 8. Faith is our part.
Yes.
See, people have taken all that faith message because people don't like responsibility, so they twist it and they try to make it seem like, well, this is a me gospel. And those people down at family church, they just kick God right out of the equation. I'm not kicking God out of the equation. I'm sure not saying I can do anything without him. It's only him.
Yeah.
But see, when he's already handed us and dealt us the measure of faith, and faith's what gets it done. We're not belittling God by saying everything rides on our faith. He gave it to us. Praise God. Romans 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. Well, what is that? That is the word of faith which we preach. Well, this is what we're talking about, the word of faith. The Bible says the word of faith is found in two places. In your heart and in your mouth. Now, this is what I want you to see. We know that there's two ways that faith can come. Only two ways, the Bible says. If you're praying for faith, you're wasting your time. Because the Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17 that faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word. And then the other way faith can come and get stronger is by using your faith. Remember that faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the bigger and the stronger it'll get.
Yeah.
Faith was not meant to not be used. It was meant to be used. And have you ever looked back at when you accomplish something through faith? It's like, man, I feel a little stronger now. And next time something comes, you can go back and say, I did that. Well, you built that. It's kind of like a bodybuilder that goes to the gym. Maybe one time all they could do is 30 pounds 10 times, but then they keep doing it. They go back, and now it's like 30 pounds 10 times. Now I could throw this up 15 times. I better add some weight.
Yeah.
Same with faith. The more you build it, the more you progress in it, the stronger you'll be, the more you'll be able to take on, and the more you'll be able to accomplish. If you use it, yeah. So faith is in two places. Faith, first of all, you have to understand this. It shows up in your heart. Now, when you hear the word of God, let's think about Jesus. There was a time in your life that were pre-Jesus years for you. That now maybe some of you and Caleb will never ever remember pre-Jesus years. He's going to grow up, and I wasn't fortunate enough to have that. Maybe you're so blessed that you grew up in a family. I tell you, that's the greatest testimony of all, but it's not the most common one. So most of us probably remember a day and time in our life that we were pre-Jesus. Well, then you heard that there was this guy that was perfect, that died on the cross for you, took all your sins, rose again from the dead, and if you accept him, all your sins will be forgiven, and you'll be a child of God, and you get to go to heaven forever. And when you heard that, something on the inside, you said, ooh, that sounds really, really good. Something bore witness with your spirit. Well, see, when you heard that, you were hearing the word of God, because that is the word of God. That's what happened. Well, faith came, but where did it come? On the inside of your heart. So the very first place faith is found is on the inside of your heart. But it cannot lay dormant there. Because faith is not found in one place only. The Bible says it's in your mouth and in your heart. Go to verse 10. It says, for with the heart man believeth. Do you see that? With the heart man believeth. So when you hear the word on salvation, or when you hear the word on healing, or prosperity, or long life, or protection, or freedom from whatever you're going through, what happens? Faith springs up on the inside of your heart. Whoa! I don't have to be sick. Whoa! I don't have to be broke. Wait a minute, I don't have to be fearful. Things are going to be okay. The finances are going to come. That's what happens. Faith comes and springs up on the inside of you. But it can't stay in there. Because with the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, when you, let's take it in salvation's terms. Every promise of God works the same way, but let's look at it salvation. You were walking along in life, you didn't know Jesus. You didn't even know what's going on. You thought maybe you're just going to die, go to hell, or die and float around the stars. I don't know what you thought. But then you heard about Jesus. Faith came on the inside of you. But see, you didn't get born again just by believing on the inside of you. Because that would have been unbiblical. Because the Bible says with the heart man believes, but with the mouth, confession is made unto, or confession is made to grab the promise. Go with me, Heather. We go back a verse to verse 9. Because you can't just leave it in your heart or you're not born again. For if, now notice if means it's not automatic. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So either the Bible's true or it's not. Either we're going to take the Bible at its word or it's not. And no longer can we say, I was at a concert one day at Kingdom Bow. We took a youth group up there. And there's a band that played a set, and then they preached. It was wonderful. They told about salvation. But then they said, now can we ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes? They said, if you want to receive Jesus, I said, oh, praise God, finally somebody's... I never understood a Christian band that didn't use their platform to get people saved. I don't understand it. At every funeral or anything I do, I ask the family, can I give a salvation call? Because it's a platform to get people into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. And I never understood the bands, the Christian band. There was a Christian singer, this just blew my mind, that came into Jamestown and we put it on. And we had said before in the contract that we're not doing this unless we have a salvation call. When we got there, they gave us a hard time about it. I couldn't believe it. We said, no, they were shutting the whole thing down. Well, they gave in and let us give a salvation call. People got born again. But why are we fighting against that? And this person said, bow their heads. I said, oh, thank God, a salvation call. All these teenagers that are here just to hear the music are now going to get saved. And he said, God knows what's in your heart. You don't need to say anything. God knows what's in your heart. He'll come and save you. I said, no, he won't. And see, they walk away thinking they're born again. And thinking that they, but the Bible says you need to confess. Now, if there's situations where somebody is not mentally able to do that, or somebody's physically not, we're not talking about that. God's merciful and works with those situations. But a situation where you have a mouth and you can talk, the Bible says you have to confess it. Why? Because with the heart man believes, but salvation didn't become a reality till the confession. Go back to verse 10, Heather, please. See, you got to get this, because this is how you're healing. This is how your finances become a reality. Because salvation, as much as you believed it and knew it was true, did not become a reality until you opened your mouth. You might have thought it was real when you believed it, but in heavens, you did not become born again and stamped and sealed as His until you opened your mouth and said, "Lord, I believe in You." With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made. You could say it this way. The confession brings the possession. The confession brings the possession of the promise. Go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. We're talking about how to fill in the blank check of faith that He's given you. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, notice this, I believed, well, what's that? That's the first thing that happens, right? You hear about Jesus, you believe on your heart. You hear about healing, whoo, you believe. You hear about financial freedom and all these promises, and you believe. He said, I believed, therefore. Paul is saying, when I believe, something else automatically kicked in. He says, I believed, and because I believe, therefore, I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. If you look up in the Greek, which the New Testament was written in, that word spirit, the fifth word, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth word in that verse, it means the word vital sign. It's not talking about the Holy Ghost or your spirit. It says we having the same spirit, or we having the same vital signs of faith. Well, what's a vital sign in your body? Your pulse, your heartbeat. If those are absent, guess what else is absent? Your life.
Right?
Take away the pulse, take away the heartbeat, take away the life. Well, faith has vital signs. You know what they are? You want to know if faith's existence? Remember, Jesus said, if you can have faith, all things are possible to the one that has faith. Well, if you want to know if you have faith, it's found in two places, in here and in here. And if it's not there, it's not faith. I'm sorry to tell you. You can confess empty words all you want, but if you're not believing in your heart, it's not faith.
Right.
You can believe all you want in your heart, but until you open your mouth, it's not faith.
Right.
Labor Day night, Caleb had his first fire ever, which probably seems crazy. He's 5 years old, but you have to understand how stickler we are for his bedtime. And it's just never been dark when he goes to bed.
Right.
We just never have a fire. And so we're like, oh, we're just going to have fire tonight if it's light out. You know, we're just very... This is the way we've been. You know, it's worked for us. And so we, and again, when I say that, church, make sure you don't get into bondage. You do what works for your family. Amen? You walk out your own salvation. Some people have, actually, I envy the people that have less of a schedule, that put their kids to bed and I'm like, I just don't understand how that could be possible. But it seems like so much more freedom and fun that way. But we're just like this. So when I say that, your pastor, that's kind of those things that you make sure you don't run with that and say, oh, God, my kid stays up a little later. It's dark, and we change bedtimes. No, no, you walk out what's best for your family.
Right.
It's the same way. I'm going to hit this because it seems good in my heart. We send Caleb to a private Christian school. Doesn't mean you have to.
Right.
You follow your heart. The only reason we do is because that's what the Holy Ghost told us to do. We thought we'd homeschool. We didn't know if we'd send him to Southwestern right down the road. We just obeyed God.
Yeah.
You follow God, and don't get into bondage about it.
Good.
Whatever the Lord's told you to do, you do it and you walk that out.
Right.
And you get in faith.
Yeah.
I mean, the public schools need good people too.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Homeschool, so what? If people are homeschool, do it. If I send them to private Christian, do it.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
It's important that whatever you do, you follow God and you do it in faith. Amen?
Amen?
So many people have gotten into such bondage over things. Because, well, you know, pastors' kids, they go to a private Christian. The only reason... It's not because I'm down on public schools. It's not because I'm down on homeschooling. I'm just obeying God. We sought God, and that seemed what the Holy Ghost told us to do. And it's a sacrifice for us because you got to pay to do it. So if it was my up to me, we'd be going the free route. I'm just doing what God said. So make sure whatever you do it in faith. Amen? Hopefully that brings peace to people. And whatever, you know, when the devil's trying to give you condemnation and bondage, that's not God.
That's right.
God never deals with you in condemnation, fear, bondage, or anything like that. You just tell the devil to shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And obey God and obey Him in faith. Praise the Lord. So, it's in two places. We had a fire. I'll get back to that. We were having a fire. And we wanted to make s'mores. Well, what is a s'more? A s'more is comprised of three parts. a graham cracker, a marshmallow, and a slab of chocolate, whatever, however you want to put that, it's chocolate, right? Whatever form you want to do it. Three parts. Don't come to a fire and say you're bringing s'mores and only show up with graham crackers and a marshmallow. I'm going to look at you funny. Right? Don't just show up with the graham crackers or just marshmallows and say we're having s'mores. No. A s'more is three things. There's no compromising on that. You might have variations of your s'mores and different kinds, but a s'more, that the heart and the core of a s'more is chocolate, graham cracker, and marshmallow. Right? At the heart of faith is believing and speaking. You cannot interchange anything else. You cannot come with just one and say you're in faith. No. The vital sign to show whether you have faith or not is believing and speaking. Hallelujah. So, to answer your question, how then do we fill in this blank check? If all things are possible, how do I make that a reality? How do I make healing come to me? How do I make finances come to me? How do I get past this situation? You fill that check in and you write that check in with your words.
Amen.
Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And I usually preach for about 40, 45 minutes. Notice I said usually. That gives me an out. Praise the Lord. You all be home for time for kickoff. Just chill out. Oh, I predicted they were going to win because I was about to say, what do you want to get home for anyways? But no, they're going to win today. James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offends not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Well, what is he talking about in word? He's saying if any man doesn't mess up in what they speak, one translation says they are able to curb the entire nature and course of their life by the words that they speak. And we offend in all, but if any man can control this, and I'm going to show you some things here in the Word. We think that words are minor and words are so major. Real quick, flip over to Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Oh, what's a sweeter noise than that? Praise the Lord. Oh, Proverbs 18:21. And then we'll go back to James. It says, actually, start in verse 20, Heather, to get full context. Now, notice this. I didn't put this in here. The Word did. I was so appreciated. Nikki, you sent me a text message yesterday of a picture. And it said on the picture, don't blame the messenger. I said, praise. I was just glorifying God. Thank you. Yes. You don't fault the madman when he brings you your national fuel bill. I'm just reporting what the Word says, glory to God. Amen? A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled or satisfied. Your satisfaction in life comes from what you're saying, because what you're saying, whether you know it or not, you are writing check after check after check. And some of y'all are writing checks with your mouth that you don't want to be cashed.
That's good.
Make sure you're careful what kind of checks you want to write.
Yeah.
Verse 21, then it goes on to say, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Not in what God will do for you.
Right.
In the power of what you say. And they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Death and life can be produced by your words. Now go back with me to James chapter 3. If any man offend not offend in word, he can curb the entire nature of his course, of his life, by what he says. James 3 and verse 2. Look at what the Word says about what we say. It says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. What's it saying that the bit can do? The bit can steer the horse in any direction that you need it to go.
Yeah.
The bit can do that. It says in verse 4, behold the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm or rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth or wherever the captain wants to go. How does he do it? He doesn't get his army to jump in the water or other boats to come to push him. What's he do? He turns it with the rudder. Notice that the Bible says that a ship, the course of the ship that the ship is on, can be turned by the rudder.
Right.
So the horse, this thousand, how much does a horse weigh?
A thousand?
How much does a ship weigh? Tons and tons, right?
Yeah.
These huge things, their whole nature, their whole course of their life can be turned on a dime by something so small. Right? You could lead a horse into something wrong by a bit. You can lead a horse into something good. You can steer a ship into something good or something bad by the rudder. Can you or can you not? You sure can. Verse 5. Even so, more modern translation would say likewise. Or it's saying it this way. In the same manner that a bit will do that to a horse, and a rudder will do that for a ship, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. What's he saying? Even so, or likewise, I'm going to compare the tongue and what you say to the bit in a horse's mouth and to the rudder on a ship. And I'm trying to tell you, I already told you in verse 2, James is saying, see, you ought to get acquainted with Brother James. Because Brother James knew what he was talking about. In verse 2, he said, listen, your whole nature of your life, if you can control your mouth, will be okay. And he goes on and tells the horse example, the ship example, and then he says, the tongue is just like the bit, the tongue is just like a rudder. Where do you want to go in life? Where do you want the course of your life to be steered into? Depression, fear, anxiety, lack, depression, sickness, whatever, anxiety, worry? Your mouth is going to take you there or steer you away from those places, steer you into good places, or turn around your whole situation into the better by what you say. Why? Because when you say it, you're filling in the blank check that God has given you.
Amen.
Amen. Is right. Go to Mark 11, verse 23. Mark 11 and verse 23. When you wake up at 3 in the morning, I know y'all are going to set your alarm for 3 in the morning to check out that Monday Mountain Mover. I just know it. Psych! Remember psych? Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Mark 11, 23, and we'll be closing here in a few minutes, said this. Remember, we just saw it. Your whole nature of your life can be steered. Where do you want to go? It's up to you. Fill in the blank check. How do you fill it in? With your words. Now again, don't thump the messenger. This is Jesus talking. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, well I guess he's not just talking about the disciples now, is he? He's talking to whosoever. Well guess what you are? A whosoever. Whosoever shall say, everybody say say, shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The reason I brought the Monday Mountain Mover again is because this all is going to seem familiar when you read that. Because it was what was on my heart and we went with it. But Jesus said that the mountains in your life that you need to write checks for are moved one way and one way only by what you say to them. Notice it doesn't say, whosoever shall talk about the mountain, shall wish about the mountain, shall dream and fantasize about the mountain, shall wring their hands about the mountain, shall magnify the mountain, shall plead and plead about the mountain, get on the phone and call everybody and talk about the mountain, that's the way it'll be removed. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain will go. He knew the power of words. Go to verse 22. Jesus answering them, the verse before this, he says, have faith in God. Now, if you're like what my Bible has, again, the Bible was not written in English. It was written in Greek and Hebrew in the Old Testament. Mine has a little thing for the margin to go over. The more correct, literal Greek translation of have faith in God, and my Bible says it, some of yours might. We know it, anybody with a half a brain would know that what I'm about to say is true just by what happened in the story before. Jesus, the more literal translation of have faith in God is have the God kind of faith. Or have faith like God. Now, we know that's true by not even looking at Greek and Hebrew. Because in the verses before, Jesus cursed a fig tree. He changed the natural situation with his words. The disciples were amazed. And Jesus went on to say, have the faith of God. Then I say unto you that whosoever wants to do this. So he's saying, have faith like I had it, or have faith like my God has it. Well, how does God do it? He calls those things which be not as though they are. How does God do it? The Bible says that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The Word says for you in Ephesians 5 and verse 1 to be imitators of God. Jesus said here, have faith like God does. Well, how does God do it? He creates nothing out of His Word. He creates something out of nothing with His words. He spoke, let there be light. He spoke, let there be trees. Let there be water. Let there be a sun. Let there be stars. He spoke it. And Jesus is saying, go to verse 23 again. I'm saying unto you that the same thing will work for you.
Amen.
See, how do I say this and be nice? I don't know if I can. I'll just say it and hopefully you just understand that I love you.
Amen.
Just like when Jesus called the woman a dog, we knew that he was nice and he loved her. If you're not speaking faith over your finances, your health, your children, your spouse, your business, your vehicles, your homes, your mind, your whatever, stop expecting it to change. If you're speaking doubt, if you're not speaking at all, if you're just wishing and twiddling your thumbs and hoping like heck that God will shine His happy face on your situation, you are wasting your time.
Yeah.
Until you get the Word of God in your mouth and continue to speak to that mountain and just take chunks out of that thing until it's no longer there, it's just a pile of dust. Don't expect change. Well, I'm expecting my husband to do this, but all you ever talk about is how bad he is. Y'all want my wife to do this, but all you ever say is how bad they are. Start speaking faith over them. Well, I want my children to change, but all I ever tell them is, call them is how they're just little brats. And all they ever do is... What are you expecting to happen? Well, they're cutting back at work. The economy's bad. I never have enough money. Stop expecting things to change. You're mocking God. You're being a fool. People are very good about talking about their problem, about magnifying their problem, about getting with other people because misery loves company and talking about how bad this and that is. Go to somebody that's having success in their marriage, that's having success in their finances, that's having success in their body, that's living in joy, that's full of faith and full of fire. Go to them for your help.
Amen.
Because they won't sit there and magnify the problem, they magnify the solution. And they'll tell you, you want change? Do this. Start doing this. Start speaking different. Jesus said it changes. That's the only way it changes. We got to take Him at His word. We got to take Him at His word. Right? God's ways are different than our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. Praise God. So I'm going to ask you, and you're going to find when you read that tomorrow morning, what are you going to start saying for this week? Well, you better start changing the words of your mouth. Say what that business has been this way. Start speaking how business is going to be different. Say what that your marriage has been this way. Start speaking that my marriage is going to be different. Say what that your kids have gone this way. Start speaking that my kids will be different. Say what that your finances look to be going that way. Your body looks to be going that way. Start speaking it.
Amen.
Releasing your faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you even think about thinking this right now, let me just squash it before it even gets into your head even further. If you even come up with a thought, well, I've been doing it, then you located yourself, and if you even say that, you are saying to the whole world, I am not a faith person. Because faith never says, well, I've been doing it. Never says that. Well, how long? Faith never says that. Faith just does it. Faith presses. That woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says she kept saying in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, if I can just touch His clothes, if I can just touch His clothes, if I can just touch His clothes. She didn't stop. She had to get through the multitude, probably thousands of people, weak in her body, burning through people, people getting out of her way, calling her unclean. Said, oh, don't touch me. All that opposition. She didn't stop and say, this isn't working. How long? She said, no, if I just do it, if I just get to Him.
Hallelujah.
Faith never, ever, ever says, how long? We have to do this. Then you're just telling me you're not in faith.
Right.
You've just located yourself, and you better go back, void that check, and write a new one. Because let's be honest with ourselves. I'll close with this. How many times have we started off in fire and faith, and a week goes by, and nothing's changed, and things maybe get better, and we've uttered things like, but I thought, but what, voided faith check, write another one, and get back in faith. How many of our faith checks have we voided by our words? I know I have voided a whole lot. Things that I was quote unquote believing God for, but my words and my actions proved otherwise.
Right.
Grumbling. Faith never grumbles. Faith never complains. It never does it. Faith is just always, it's changing. It's changing. It's changing. I know I've gone 2 years, but you know, it's 2 years in one day. I'm closer than I've ever been before. That's what faith will do. Absolutely.
Thank you, Pastor.
Don't thump the messenger. Love the messenger. I mean, come on. Just love him. Well, what are we going to say? Let's start speaking words of faith. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you for your word this morning. Devil, you're in trouble. We repent for all those voided checks we've wrote. That we started in faith, they started out good with the finances in the account, and they've had to be voided because all of a sudden the faith was gone. So we choose to get back into faith, and we will stand our ground until it turns around. We will not be moved off of what the Word says. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you know what faith is? All faith is just taking God at His Word. It's just taking God at His Word. If He said it, Lord, that we're not going to move off the Word until what the Word says is a manifestation and a reality in our life. If it's healing, we're not moving off the Word until healing comes. We're not moving off the Word until the finances break through. We're not moving off the Word until we're free, full of joy and peace and prosperity and health, long life and just excitement and faith going forward. Father, we thank you for the Word this morning. It does something to us. It builds us up. It helps us. So every single day, people, as you're going through this, every day what you need to do is thank God for what you're believing Him for. And every single time a thought would come contrary, or the devil would throw something, or a circumstance or a situation would arise that would look like it's opposite of what you're believing, you just say, I thank you, Lord, that thing's changing according to your word. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Faith is so awesome. What a gift God's given us. But the greatest gift that God ever gave us was Jesus. Oh, we're so thankful for Jesus. So thankful for Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is a free gift. It can't be earned by money. Can't be earned by church attendance. It can't be earned by being a good person and having your good works outweigh your bad. If you're here this morning, ask yourself this question. Or if you're listening to me by live stream, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If the answer isn't a 100% yes, let me tell you, I'm here to tell you and to encourage you that it can be a yes, that heaven is an easy destination, that heaven is just, the way the Bible says it, is that it just is about you believing in Jesus and asking Him into your life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, we're not going to embarrass anybody, have anybody come to the front, or have anybody stand up or say anything on your own. If you can say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I thought that I would because I went to church. I've been a good person, but really I can't ever say that I've accepted Jesus. If you want to receive Jesus with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, would you just lift your hand in the air? Anybody want to receive Him? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Anybody else want to receive Jesus that's never received Him? Father, we have a hand, and we might, Lord, have some by live stream and also by archive someday. And let me just encourage everybody here, once you do this, and once you cry out to Jesus, you never have to do this again. Now, if you make a mistake and you mess up, you just ask God to forgive you. But crying out to Him and having Him come into your life is a one-time thing. So this person that raised their hand, if there's anybody else, when you pray this prayer, when you mean it with all your heart that you want Jesus, you just know that He's come in, He's not leaving. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Again, if you miss it, you struggle, you have a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, just ask Him to forgive you. But that person that raised your hand, we're going to ask Jesus, and you're going to ask Him into your heart. but you're not going to pray by yourself. We're all going to lift our voices and repeat this prayer, and we're all going to mean it from the bottom of our heart. Everybody, including that person that raised their hand, say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, we know the next step after getting saved is to get planted in a good Bible teaching church. I encourage you, if you don't have a good Bible teaching church, we'd love to be that for you. But if you have one, be faithful there. But make sure they're teaching the Word. There's so much that you need to learn about. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30. Have an awesome rest of the weekend. You're dismissed. Go Buffalo! Yeah!